Moncrief on News Talk.
My next guests are two psychotherapists who specialise in adult children of narcissistic parents. Having met through Instagram a number of years ago, they've since created a podcast, Insight, Exposing Narcissism, and released their new book last month, You're Not the Problem, The Impact of Narcissism on Emotional Abuse and How to Heal. Katie McKenna and Helen Villiers, you're very welcome to Moncrief. Hi, guys.
Hi, thank you.
Now, I'll start with you, Katie. This is the very obvious question, but is a level of narcissism acceptable or useful? I say that as an egotistical radio presenter, obviously, but I just mean, is there some element of we need a bit of narcissism, or is it just the wrong thing? I'm also conscious of the fact I'm putting too many C's in the word narcissism, but bear with
me. John, you're absolutely right. We all have narcissistic traits, and there's some that are healthier than others. So what you're talking about there is the healthy narcissism, and that's what makes you ambitious, you know, to want to get ahead, to achieve things. And what we talk about is unhealthy narcissism. And that's the complete opposite of that. So that's where people will use you to get their own way. They'll walk all over you, even climb over you to get ahead. And while doing this, they'll tell you that they have your best interests at heart, but they don't. And with unhealthy narcissism, you're never taken into consideration because it's all about them.
Very interesting. And Helen, maybe I'll give you the next one, because I'm just conscious both of you are there. Like, it's a massive question and nurture nature. But is there any, and we were talking about Freud earlier in the show, but is there any defining thing that might happen to a narcissist that makes them a narcissist? Or is it just too wide a condition to have any root causes?
John, you've asked one of my absolute favourite questions, so I'm going to try and keep it as short as possible. But essentially, the research shows that it's born from childhood trauma, but that trauma could look like what we would understand trauma to be, as in physical sexual abuse, but it also could be severe emotional abuse, neglect, and the big one that people find quite shocking is smothering. The idea that the parent that's really over-involved and they're doing absolutely everything for their child, they are not allowing them to kind of explore the world on their own, that can create narcissistic personality disorder. And there's thought, possibly there's a genetic element, but nothing has been kind of concretely established yet. So trauma is what will cause NPD.
Yeah, okay, very interesting. And but just so we're clear, in terms of the work that you guys do, it's specifically children of narcissistic parents. I mean, that's what you're looking at. So this clearly is something you've encountered in the work that you do that you felt needs special attention, as opposed to just looking at narcissism.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the thing about it is that what we learn in childhood is what we take into adulthood. So the book is really about a blueprint for understanding how the things that happen to you in childhood affect all your adulthood relationships. So we see a lot of adult children of narcissistic parents, but they will inevitably have relationships with narcissistic people in their adult life. So partners, colleagues and friends. So it's kind of widespread. And yes, we are seeing a lot of it. Absolutely.
And Katie, you know, as a parent myself, which I've mentioned, this thing about, you know, I don't want to be pejorative here, but certainly in my parents' generation, they were so busy getting the job done and keeping the wolf from the door. And now, and I see it with my own friends, maybe some of us had kids later on that, you know, a lot of people had kids in their 20s. A lot of my generation had them in their 30s and things like that, and even into their 40s. So they've had a bit of a life that maybe our parents didn't have, and they become, and I'm one of these, you know, besotted by their children, and that they almost, you know, and it sounds like a crazy thing. How could you do this? But they overlove them or give them too much love or smother them in some sense. Can you just give parents advice on that? I mean, can you love a child too much? Can you overvalidate a child?
That's a really interesting point. And in You're Not the Problem, we list three categories of narcissistic parents. And one is the critical parent. This is the parent that's never happy with anything and they're not afraid to say it. And then there's the ignoring parent who does just that. They ignore their child. They're not interested in their life. They don't call them. They pretend, they act as if they don't exist. And then there's this category that I think you're talking about here. And this is the engulfing parent. This is the parent that smothers their child, hovers over their child, and wants to be involved with in every single aspect of their child's life in a really unhealthy way. And you're right. It does damage the child because it stifles the child. It's meeting the parent's needs rather than giving the child that freedom and that autonomy to meet their own.
Very interesting. And does, you know, where you come in the family affect your predisposition towards narcissism? Because there are theories about first child, second, blah, 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 middle child, like, you know them better than I do. But does that have, or is that all, I don't know, stuff psychologists have given up on?
The placement in the family system absolutely can make a huge difference. So typically what we can see is that the eldest boy can be the golden child. So there's four roles that actually will play out in the family system. And everyone knows a golden child. This is the child that the parent acts as if the sun shines out of where the sun is not supposed to shine out of. They're treated that they're perfect. I mean, they're not. But in the eyes of the parent, they act as if they can do no wrong. There's the invisible child. And again, that's the parent that acts as if they don't exist. Then there's the scapegoat child, and they're blamed for absolutely everything that goes wrong in the family system. And then there's the gilded child. And that child can actually look like the golden child. Oftentimes they might even think that they're golden, but they have to work really hard to be the parent's best friend. And they have to grow up really quickly to maintain that position within the family.
Very interesting. You know, in the book, you talk about something called the grey rock method. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. The grey rock method is a way in which we can manage boundaries with someone narcissistic that we have to have a relationship with. So this might be a colleague. It might be a co-parent that we are no longer with. It might be a friend even in our friendship group. And all it is very, very boundary communication where we're basically putting someone on an information diet. So we're not giving them information because for the narcissist, information is currency. So if they say to you, oh, what did you get up to at the weekend? Instead of telling them, you go, oh, not much. Oh, what about you? And you turn it back on to them because they are their own favorite subject, of course. So we are looking at whether or not what we're giving them in terms of currency, really. And by holding these boundaries, we basically get them to get bored of us. And that in turn means that they will discard us without going into something called the smear campaign, which is activated when they feel rejected or angry. So the grey rock is a protection method about holding boundaries and maintaining pleasantries in a relationship that has no depth at all and leads to you being left alone, essentially.
And, you know, like so many things in life, I presume narcissists struggle in romantic relationships. And that's probably one of the reasons why they might go and talk to you about it.
Yeah, so that's a common misperception. So I can understand why you would think that way, because the person that actually has the destructive behavior, why they would go and seek therapy. But actually, change requires self-reflection and taking healthy accountability. And instead, what we see the narcissist does is that they blame their behavior on the other person.
Okay.
And they create a narrative that it's them that's the problem, that they are, you know, being dramatic, that they are not speaking up for themselves, that they are being what's the word I'm looking for here? They're being
dramatic. Persecution of them.
Absolutely. Thanks, Helen. And so what happens, there's typically two things that we see when the narcissist is held accountable. They'll either stand in their righteousness and say, well, that's not a problem for me. That's your problem. It got me to where I am. So this is your problem to deal with. Or in the more covert presentation, they will sit in the victim role and say, I can't believe, how would you say that to me after all I've done for you? You know, how could you say that to me? I'm your mother or father or wife. How can you say those things to me? I must be just the most awful person in the world. And what they're trying to do is guilt trip and use motivational empathy to make the other person rescue them from their feelings, again, to avoid accountability.
And in 30 seconds, one of you can tell me, your podcast, Insight, Exposing Narcissism, what do you do on that each week? Or I presume it's weekly. And what do you talk to experts? Do you get narcissists on?
No, what we have is a letter from a listener.
Okay.
And they explain their situation, a problem that they're dealing with, a person that they're dealing with. And they give us a bit of background about their history and everything else. And then we start explaining what's been going on in terms of the behavior and validating the abuse that's been exposed to them, and then offering some insight into how they might move forward in that relationship and their own healing and recovery from what they've experienced.
Okay. Well, hosts of that podcast are Katie McKenna and Helen Villiers. And they're also the authors of You're Not the Problem, The Impact of Narcissism and Emotional Abuse and How to Heal. Guys, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.